Again, we extend a very warm welcome to you. Thank you very much for your attendance this evening. Continue in the New Testament, the Gospel according to Luke. That's the third book in the New Testament, and chapter number 14. The Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 14. We'll take our reading from verse 7. Luke 14, verse 7, and he, that's the Lord Jesus, put forth a parable to them which were bitter, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, or the chief seats, the chief reclining positions, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honourable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher, then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Then he said also to him, he that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, and the maimed, and the lame, and the blind. Verse number 16, and he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have brought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the Lord of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. Verse number 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In the reading that we've taken together this evening, we find that the message of the Lord Jesus is about self-absorbed men. Self-absorbed men. Luke is the writer of this gospel. It is taken up often with men who are absorbed with themselves. We must understand in the preaching of the gospel that self-absorbed men will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I must understand this, that if I ever have any hope, if I'm going to enter into the joy of what it is to be saved, I have to come to that point that we read in the last verse, where there is complete and absolute self-denial and take up my cross and follow the Lord Jesus. Selfish men and women have no place in God's heaven. Len pointed out to us earlier this week, and quite rightly so, that heaven will be full of sinners, but sinners who are saved, sinners who are cleansed. And I want to point out to you this evening, from the scriptures, that in heaven, there will be no self-absorbed person. Our attraction, our eyes, our focus of those who will be in heaven will not be on themselves and upon their own works and upon their own achievements and upon their own things that they've done in this life, but will be focused absolutely on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be a wonderful day. I remember a man saying to me once, a very good and close friend of mine. He presently is lying in hospital and he's never going to go home again. In fact, if he's not already out of the body and with the Lord, but he's a very, very close and dear friend of mine, and he's a dear Christian man in his 80s. Northwest Victoria. A lonely little town, but a man of God. And on one occasion I was speaking to him, and I said to him as we ended the phone call, for we speak to each other about once a week. And as I ended the phone call, I said, well, maybe tonight I'll see you in the air. And he said, brother, I'm sorry, but I may not see you. He said, my eyes will be focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that really just taught me and put me in my place to understand this, that my focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your focus the Lord Jesus this evening, or are you self-absorbed? There was a man in chapter 12. He was a self-made man. And we read about him at the beginning of these meetings, and he had just made it in life himself. He had accomplished many great things. You know what the Chinese man said after he had visited America, the Chinese Christian man? When he got back home to China, his Christian friends said to him, what is the greatest thing that impressed you about being in America? He said, what the Americans have achieved without God. Have you achieved much in your life? And you've left God out of the picture? Maybe you're very successful. Maybe you're very wealthy. Maybe you've achieved much in life. You've got degrees and really you're a self-made man, a self-made woman. The man in chapter 12 was a self-made man, but he left God out of the picture, and God had one instruction for that man. Fool! This night thy soul shall be required of thee. If your soul was to be called into eternity tonight and you would leave everything on earth behind, would you be counted as a self-made man who left God out of the picture, a self-made woman? Or do you have the absolute assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ takes the prime place in your life and your eyes are focused upon Him daily? I take up my cross and follow the Master. We come to chapter 13, we would find there self-righteous men. And we read about them last night.
The self-righteous people who presume that those guilty old sinners down the road that fell under the judgment, you know, the tower fell on them, that there must have been judgment. Karma, people call it, don't they? You know, they just get what they deserve. They were probably just filthy old guilty sinners anyway. The Lord Jesus had to teach self-righteousness. Except you repent, ye will likewise perish. Here in chapter 14, self-absorbed men will come to them in a moment. If we would go to chapter 15, Lord willing, we'll get there in these meetings. If we're preserved, we will see self-willed men. And a self-willed man who just went out and went on his own way in life and had no time for thinking of the things of God or bowing to the mind and will of God, but he just went on and pursued his own course. It ended in misery. Self-willed person in the meeting this evening, and you just pursued your own course in life, and you've left God and his will and his mind for your life completely out of the window. God would appeal to you this evening to come in repentance. Each one of these, repentance is needed. Repentance is needed if you're a self-made man and you've left God out of the picture. If you're a self-righteous man, you know self-righteous people need to repent. People that say they have no need of God, really what it is God needs me. You know, he needs the kind of people like myself. I'm very upright and I'm very moral and I'm very law-abiding and I do this and I do that and I do the other thing and I'm glad I'm not like those other people. I'm the one that pay my taxes and I pay my bills and I attend church regularly and I pray and I do this and I do that. Surely God would take people like that to heaven. No, no. Self-righteous people need to repent. And oh, God doesn't need me. He desires to save my soul. He desires to save my soul. He desires to save your soul. Is there anything I could give the living God of the universe? And all these things that I see in this great universe are for his pleasure. He created them. They're of him. They're for him. Is there anything that I could offer God tonight? Could I hold up some puny little works in my hand and offer it to God as though he needed it? Self-righteous people need to repent. We would come to chapter 16 of the Gospel according to Luke. And we would see a self-centered man. He just thought about himself in all his life. It says he fared sumptuously every day. That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He thought for himself. He fed himself. He had his selfish pleasures, his selfish desires. So much so, he was so self-centered. There was a poor beggar lying at his gate full of sores who ate the crumbs from his table. And a self-centered man could not even think of a beggar who was just a few meters away from him. Self-centered people need to repent. Is there a person in the meeting tonight and you know deep within your soul you're a self-centered person? And you've just put yourself first in life, and really you've just elbowed people out the way as you've gone through life. As long as I get the promotion at work, as long as I get this in my family, as long as I get that in the inheritance. Just reading in the newspaper recently of the despicable act of a man who wanted the life insurance of his newly married wife. So he went and drowned her in Queensland. Took her down scuba diving and allowed her to drown under the ground under the water so he could come up and go and collect the life insurance. You wouldn't do that, would you? No, 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 I wouldn't do that. But I tell you what, I'll elbow the person out the way to get the job promotion. There is no difference. In principle, self-centered people need to repent. You see, I have the nature. And that's where it starts. Little things become big things. I don't believe that man would have woken up one morning and decided, oh, well, I'll just go and drown my wife this morning so I can get a bit of money. And there would have been that covetousness in life. And it starts with small things. And you see, I have to understand that I have that very nature within me, that if I'm capable of putting small things into practice, I'm capable of putting huge, despicable atrocities. It's the very nature I have. But back to chapter 14. Self-absorbed men. Men, and they were preoccupied with having a preeminent place. They thought if they could promote themselves, and I would be looked at, and people would give me first place. And the Lord Jesus had to teach men like this and women like this that the kingdom of heaven has no place for people who desire to be preeminent, who desire to promote themselves. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus had to teach these people. He marked out that they chose the best for themselves. He marked out that they were preoccupied with themselves and self-absorbed. And he had to teach them if someone more honorable was to come into the room, there would be shame. For you would be moved out of the way. You would be abased and not exalted. Was there anyone more honorable in the very room when the Lord Jesus was giving instruction? These very men in his presence who were self-absorbed, who put themselves up, who promoted themselves and gave themselves the preeminent place, were in the very same room as the Creator of the universe, in the very presence of the Son of God. We wouldn't be so foolish to do that, would we? Would we stand up and put ourselves up over God? Or maybe you've been doing it in your life. Maybe God has been down here and self has been up here. And self-promotion and absorbed with self. And selfish pursuits, selfish pleasures, selfish partnerships. We would find that later on in the chapter as they all made up excuses as he brought the furtherance to this parable. That there's an invitation given. Oh, but I want to tell you this evening of the greatest, most selfless act that has ever been known in the history of mankind, in the entire universe. Dear friend, that was when God stepped forth from the very throne of heaven. And the Son of God came down to this earth. Listen to what the Bible says. It says that the Lord Jesus Christ thought it not robbery, counted it not a robbery to be equal with God. Yet took upon him the form of a slave. Was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The most selfless act that has ever been known is from the very Creator of this universe, so that he may save selfish souls, self-absorbed souls, self-willed souls, self-centered souls, people who have left God out of their lives. Is there any hope for such people? Thank God, through the greatest, most selfless act from the very Son of God, who walked a pathway of being trodden down in this One who was born king. One who had every right and every claim. One who deserved the absolute promotion. One who deserved the preeminent place. He put himself in a manger. Born in a lowly manger. He had no place that he could call home as he journeyed throughout this scene of time, saying on one occasion, the birds of the air have nesting places, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where he can lay his head. Isn't that selflessness? So that you and I could come in to the enjoyment of what it is to be released from the bondage of our selfish nature. So we could come into the good of being cleansed from our sin. So that we could stop in our tracks and repent in our self-righteousness. Turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus. Turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus this evening, friend. Put your eyes on the cross this evening. Don't put your eyes on the preacher. Don't put your eyes on the pulpit. Don't put your eyes on the Christians. They'll let you down. I'll let you down. But Christ will never let you down. The Word of God will never let you down. Put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. See Him that He died on the cross. He laid down His life. Great nails were driven through the hands of the very Son of God, through His feet. Men despised him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and they suspended him in between heaven and earth. Why? So that through this great selfless act, he may bear in his own body my sins upon the tree. Do you know the Lord Jesus this evening? Maybe you know about him. Maybe you know about him here. But you don't know him in here. You've never got to that point. I'm prepared to leave. Husband, wife, sister, brother, father, mother. And I'll leave all and follow the Lord Jesus taking up my cross. What does that mean? You have to leave your wife to trust in the Lord Jesus? No. Do you have to leave your father or your mother? No. But the Lord Jesus was teaching in this chapter full of self-absorbed people. People that were absorbed with their own self-promotion. And then people that would just invite the best people to their feasts so that they could get invited back to them. He had to teach them. But if you're going to receives God's salvation, you've got to come to the point when I leave all and follow the Lord Jesus. Complete self-denial. All my pleasures, all my ambitions, all my pursuits, I'm prepared to leave them all if it means following the Lord Jesus. I'm prepared to take up my cross. I'm prepared to be crucified to this world. I'm prepared to be finished with sin, with selfishness, with the self-willed life, with the self-made life, with the self-centered life, with the self-absorbed life. I'm prepared to be finished with it. I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus this very night. And understand what one man said on one occasion, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He left all. He left all to lay down his life, that he may take it again and rise triumphant over the power of death, and there render him useless, the devil powerless, so that he could rescue you from all your selfishness, rescue you from all your sin, Would you come to one like that this evening? Would you put your confidence in one like that this evening? Would you follow one like that this evening? Would you be obedient to one like that this evening? Oh, dear friends. There was a man on one occasion, he said to the Lord Jesus, he said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." You know what he said a little bit later? As he followed the Lord Jesus, he marveled one day when the Lord Jesus was giving instruction concerning people being saved. And he said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And this man, he turned to the Lord Jesus, who had left all and followed the Lord Jesus. He said, "Who then can be saved?" Is salvation too hard for you this evening? Is there just something you want to keep in your life? Is there some selfish pursuit? Is there something you couldn't give up? Well, I would follow the Lord Jesus, but I just couldn't give up my sport. I would follow the Lord Jesus, but I just couldn't give up my religion. I would follow the Lord Jesus. Listen to the excuses that came forth from the very one that gave the gracious invitation to those who were poor, blind, those who recognized that. "I bought a piece of ground. I must go and see it." What an empty excuse to go and look at a piece of ground instead of following the Lord Jesus. Dear friend, be prepared to leave all the secret. Take up your cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, again we give thanks for the wonderful Savior. We give thanks for the wonderful message. Cause us, O God, to understand it more. As Christians we pray that we may follow Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. O God, grant this we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We'll sing one verse of a hymn in closing, where we sung before, 371 I think it was.
Five seven one.
Thank you, Bevan. 571. I have not been able to get away from this hymn. So I was thinking about what hymn that I should give out tonight, and I couldn't, in my mind, get away from "More About Jesus Would I Know." More of His grace to others show. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love, who died for me. Verses 3 and 4, standing. And thank you for coming. And we would love to see you back again tomorrow.